Lord God, on this Easter morning, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the day that we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the grave. Christ died on the cross, taking my place, taking your place. He was the Lamb that was slain, who conquered sin and death for you. Today is also Zegan's baptism. He will acknowledge his faith in Jesus before the church this morning, and he'll be marked in baptism as Christ's own forever. So today is a milestone in Zegan's life, and we're so proud of him. For the rest of you, today's an opportunity to take stock of your own life and of your own faith as you engage with the Apostle Peter. We'll discuss his journey of faith as he met and followed Jesus. I believe that Peter represents every man and every woman. I believe that wherever you are in your own faith journey, you can see yourself in Peter. We're going to take a look at six stories from Peter's life that tell his journey of faith. As you listen, think about where you are or maybe where you've been. The first story comes from Luke's testimony. Luke records the moment that Peter first encountered Jesus after a long, unsuccessful night of fishing. Jesus climbs into Peter's boat and he teaches the crowd. So Peter firsthand got to listen to Jesus' teaching. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Go back out into the center of the lake and drop your nets for a daytime catch." Well, Peter's a professional fisherman. He knows this is ludicrous. This makes no sense. But out of respect for Jesus, he does what Jesus asked. He goes back out into the middle of the lake. He drops his nets. And as the nets fill with an unimaginable quantity of fish, Peter's undone. Peter collapses at Jesus' feet. "Depart from me. Depart, for I'm a sinful man." This is the beginning of Peter's faith in Jesus. He realizes that Jesus is holy, and he's convicted in his presence. There before Jesus, Peter's exposed. He knows he's seen for who he truly is. He's embarrassed by his sin. You all have heard about Jesus before on some level. But perhaps not all of you have had a moment like Peter when you suddenly feel seen by God the Son and known by him. A moment where you realize that he is Lord and you feel exposed before him in your sin. If you follow Jesus, you've had that moment at some point. That beginning moment of faith involves both humbling and relief. As you realize the one who sees and knows you is the Lord, the Savior. He's full of mercy and he's full of steadfast love. Jesus said to Peter in that moment, and he says to you, "Do not be afraid." He says to Peter, "No longer live in anxiety. Follow me." The second story is told by Matthew. Peter has been following Jesus. He's heard his teaching. He's witnessed miraculous healings. Peter now believes Jesus is the long-expected Messiah. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus describes to his followers future events that are coming. That he will go to Jerusalem. He will suffer many things. He'll be killed. And on the third day, he will rise again. Peter, passionate in his faith, he disagrees with Jesus. "That's not what's going to happen to the Messiah." He looks at Jesus and he says, "Never, Lord. This will not happen to you." Peter doesn't yet fully comprehend Jesus' mission. Jesus not so gently corrects Peter. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Perhaps you've experienced a correction of your faith or of your belief as you realize that what you thought you understood to be the truth turned out not to be the truth at all, maybe, or wasn't the whole truth. Peter, again, was exposed. He was humbled, as we are at times in our lives when we misunderstand and we're corrected. As we jump to conclusions, as we believe things that are later exposed to be not as we thought. Peter here models humble faith. He's an example for us all. He's not defensive. He doesn't argue or defend himself. He receives correction from Jesus, and then, most importantly, he continues to follow him. We hear the third story through Mark's testimony as Peter's faith in Jesus continues to grow. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus invites Peter, James, and John to step aside with him. They go up on a high mountain where suddenly Jesus is transfigured before them, glowing like the sun. And they see what no man has seen before, the face of God in all of its divinity in Jesus. Recall, Moses only saw God's back. They witness Moses and Elijah appearing there, talking with Jesus. And then a thick cloud envelops the top of the mountain. And Peter hears the voice of God out of the cloud declaring, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Peter's faith in Jesus is significantly strengthened. Many of you have experienced growth in your faith, perhaps mountaintop experiences at a retreat or at some other event. It may have happened just in the midst of Sunday worship, because God says present here as he is on the mountaintops. It may have happened as you read Scripture in community or on your own. It may have happened as you were led in teaching by your faith community through Sunday school or through a Wednesday night discipleship. Peter grew alongside of others. He didn't grow in faith independently on his own. His example displays why you need your church family. You need your church alongside you as you grow to understand who Jesus is, to help correct you when you may get things a little bit sideways. As you more fully understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies. He is the culmination of God's plan for salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Here at Redeemer, we represent it through our mission statement. As you're called not to grow alone, but you're called to know Christ, to grow together, and then to go together into the world. We now fast forward to Jesus' final week with his disciples as they celebrate the Passover feast. They remember God's historical rescue and the redemption of his people. All four Gospels narrate this final feast that Jesus had with his disciples. During that meal, Jesus reveals himself to be the perfect Passover lamb, whose body would be broken, whose blood would be shed for his people. And yet, in this third story, Peter and the disciples don't yet fully understand. They don't understand why Jesus washes their feet. They don't understand why Jesus, during the Passover meal, breaks the bread, declares it to be his body, and then gives it to them to eat. They don't understand when he takes The third cup of wine in the meal, the cup of redemption. He declares it to be his blood of the new covenant and gives it to them to drink. They don't understand. They certainly don't know why he says, do this in remembrance of me. What do you mean? Where are you going? They don't understand when Jesus declares that they will all abandon him and fall away. Peter, he doesn't take that sitting down. He argues. He blusters. He declares that though the others will fall away, I will never fall away, Jesus. I imagine Jesus having a knowing look in his eyes and a loving look on his face. Said Peter, not only are you going to fall away, but tonight you will deny knowing me three times. When that happens, Peter, again, is undone. He's shattered and he weeps. I believe you all can relate to Peter here. Failure is an unavoidable part of our humanity. You've all experienced Peter's grief and sorrow in the midst of failure, in the midst of sin, especially when you know that others know, and especially when you know that Jesus knows. Exposure of failure and sin can be shattering. It can undo you. And at the same time, it can be a catalyst for growth and transformation when it's embraced, when it's not rejected. Remember, in confession before Jesus, there is forgiveness of sin. There is new life. The fifth story comes from Peter's life in the midst of our gospel reading. You have it in your leaflet. It's a portion of John chapter 20. It's still dark on the third day after Jesus was crucified, and Mary's just returned from the tomb with disturbing news. The tomb is open, and I didn't see Jesus' body. Peter and John run there. And it would have been similar to me and Joel Nichols running there. Joel would have gotten there first. He's a lot faster. John gets there first. They leave at the same time, but John gets there first. And he looks in. Remember, it's still dark. John's not going into a dark tomb in the dark. He's looking in from the outside, and it says he could see the grave clothes. Peter runs up and he goes right in. He also notices the grave clothes. Verse 6, it describes Peter sees the linen cloths and then the face cloth set aside as if it had been folded up and tidied. And he is entirely perplexed. And perhaps you wonder, why do these eyewitnesses make such a big deal about seeing the grave clothes in the tomb? Well, think about it for a second. If you were going to steal a dead body, would you first unwrap it? No. If they had stolen Jesus' body, they would have taken him out. Peter sees the grave clothes, the spices there, but the body gone. He confirms Mary's report. The body's not there, but he doesn't understand. He doesn't remember or believe Jesus' former prediction that on the third day he would rise. It was not until later that day that he did believe, when Jesus appeared to the disciples behind locked doors, allowing them to touch him, eating with them in his resurrected body. Jesus said, I'm here. I'm not mystical. I'm alive. If you're a follower of Jesus, you too have experienced those moments when through a crisis, through sorrow, you find your faith strengthened. Perhaps you're there today on this Easter morning, still dealing with loss or trauma or tragedy or sadness, broken dreams. Even as you celebrate that Jesus Christ is alive, you feel that pain. Peter gives you hope. Hope that through the sorrow, there is new life and restoration in Jesus Christ. He was forever transformed by his encounter with resurrected Jesus. And we see evidence of that in the final story we will look at this morning. And it's told in our readings from Acts chapter 10. Peter's now one of the leaders of the early church. And he's received a vision from God to do what no faithful Jewish worshiper would do. The Spirit tells him to go to a Gentile's house. Peter obeys. He's now in. He obeys. And he boldly gives testimony, verse 36, that it was God's word sent to Israel. Good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Peter declares to his audience, surely you're aware. You've heard what happened. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard about his crucifixion. And surely you've heard about his resurrection. In verse 39, Peter declares, I'm an eyewitness. I've seen Jesus. Those that are with me, we saw Jesus. In verse 41, Peter says, we ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. This happened. Jesus is alive. There's now no fear left in Peter. He's been transformed by his knowledge of, his faith in, and his personal experience with Jesus Christ. And his life is now conformed to one purpose. The one purpose that if you follow Jesus, you are also called to. To proclaim the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Many of you have that kind of faith. Confident, unwavering, and yet still learning and growing, because we're never done growing in our faith until we meet him face to face. Those are six historical stories from Peter's life, culminating with the truth that Jesus is God the Son, who conquered death in his resurrection and offers new life to all who believe in and all who follow him. I believe every one of you can see yourself somewhere in Peter's journey. As I wrote this sermon, I could see myself in each of Peter's, in each of the vignettes from Peter's life, especially in his growth through embracing his failures. I can see how the Lord has brought new life to me through my own embracing of his conviction and of his correction. Where do you see yourself today? Through the lens of Peter. I pray that the Lord challenges you through Peter's life. That the Lord brings perhaps hope to you in a dark place. Perhaps conviction to you in whatever area of your life in which he's currently meddling. Because he's never done with us. Today's Easter, and today we celebrate resurrected Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. Wherever you are today, Jesus sees you. And he knows you. If you are sorrowful, you can know that Jesus knows how you feel because Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. If you're angry today, you can know that Jesus experienced that same emotion. And he wants to give you comfort. If you feel abandoned, isolated, alone, he knows that. Wherever you are, he sees you and he knows you. And he offers you redemption and new life in his name. Be like Peter. Be open every day to Jesus' activity through the Holy Spirit as He calls to you, as He speaks through Scripture, as He convicts and corrects, and as He seeks to love others through your lives. He loves you, and He died for you. He absorbed the punishment for your sins so that you can live with a faith that's able to ward off any fear, any anxiety, and to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.